Hour number two of Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell. One more hour as we conclude their first episode in year two of the new era. Right now, we go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Phil is next. What do you say, Philly?
What do you say, Jake Snake?
Philly!
You and John Dunn.
Living the dream.
Well, sounds like you're out of good crew there again. You get good crews, and then 3 o'clock rips you. I don't understand it, do you?
Well, Phil, you're going to love this new producer. He's in line with Matthew as far as his takes on Rick Barnes. You and Max are going to be best friends before it's all said and done.
Huh. Well, Rick Barnes, he's decent, but he's about time for him to go to retirement home, you know?
I don't know about a retirement home. Maybe go down to a home where he can retire, maybe down on the coast.
Well, he's got plenty of money. How much more money does he need?
He's got more money than me and you, don't he?
Exactly. And then like Polish Joe says, he's probably getting bonuses for the softball team and the baseball team going to the World Series, you know?
I mean, for the way that contract was worked, who knows, Phil? Who knows, buddy?
Well, I guess congratulations to your Miami Heat. That's great.
Yeah, man, Michael Jordan's son. How about it? What's that?
I like seeing Boston go down in flames.
Well,
God,
that's the first time they've ever lost a Game 7, isn't it?
It's been a minute since they have. They lost Game 7 to the Lakers in the finals in 2010. I know that for sure.
Oh, really?
Why? Yeah. Why do you hate Boston, Philly?
Well, back in the old days, they didn't do it. And they got a bunch of softies on that Boston team.
Hey, one of them ain't those old Grant Williams, man. He don't back down from nothing, does he?
Well, Grant Williams, he got them more than him to win a game. I mean,
yeah, true. If they had five Grant Williams on that team, we'd be looking at an NBA champion caliber Celtics team for sure. That boy, he didn't back down from nothing. I mean, I think Jimmy Butler would say that too. I honestly think he earned a lot of Butler's respect by getting in his face the other night.
Not many people do that.
At least Grant Williams wants to win, you know.
Yep, he does, and it's a shame that them NBA All-Stars that are playing with him don't want to.
Oh, Jaylen Brown doesn't want to win.
No, not at all. I'm with Tatum, I'm halfway convinced he don't care either as long as he gets his individual accolades.
Well, you know one reason why Jaylen Brown's no good, you know who coached him in college, don't you?
Who's that?
Quanzo.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Quanzo Martin. What do you think about that?
That's beautiful, ain't it?
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
If John got any basketball recruiting information for me, I asked Marcus last show, and he didn't have any.
Well, he's not going to have any for you regardless. John, do you have any information for us on that front?
What is it now?
On basketball recruiting.
So, nothing major, no major moves lately, man, outside of the last few moves they've made with Ganey, Ledlam, Connect, and those guys, man. I mean, I really like what they've been able to do with the portal, and I really, really like this incoming class. So,
this is going to help upgrade the team?
Yeah, absolutely, especially offensively, man. I think they really did a good job of, when they went to the portal, I think they addressed getting some natural scores with some experience, and then with this incoming class, I think you've got a lot of natural scoring ability. I think of guys like Josh Richardson, Jordan McRae types. You've got a guy in Cameron Carr, man, that's going to be an absolute weapon from long range. You get Santiago coming back. I think that's huge for experience, all that good stuff. So I think offensively, Tennessee is going to be in great shape. I think they're going to be a turnaround type team. The defense should still be there. So this might actually be the most talented team that Rick Barnes has had while at Tennessee.
Well, I mean, they're still running the Rick Barnes offense. I don't care how much talent you put in, is it going to work?
This is true.
But you got rid
of the three guys that everybody could not stand. You got rid of Triple J. You got rid of Urosh. And you got rid of Olivier. Those are guys that a lot of fans had a lot of disdain towards.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, we've stayed pretty quiet about on here. But the fact is, there are a lot of people that did not like those guys.
It's a lack of productivity. It's not that we didn't like them. It's just that, hey, I mean, for instance, Josiah Jordan James, I think he is a great ambassador for the University of Tennessee. I think he's a phenomenal guy, infectious personality, smart, just great guy. But on the court, man, he never turned into what we thought he was going to. He came in as an extremely highly touted player and then, you know, went on to average, what, 4 points a game or something over his career? So, I mean, it's not that we don't like him. It's just, hey, we expected more. It didn't happen. No hard feelings, you know, but it's time to move on. Now, I think that Rick Barnes has done a phenomenal job, and I think and what I'm praying for, Philly, is that he kind of turns loose of the reins with these guys a little bit this upcoming season, because if he doesn't, he's going to overcoach them, make them nervous. We saw that with guys like Julian Phillips this year, and it's going to be detrimental to his coaching.
Well, who's going to be the backup point guard?
Honestly?
Brady DeLone?
Yeah, probably. That's who I would put right now. You could put a couple names there, but I would say DeLeon right now would be your backup backup point guard.
Well, guys, I am looking forward to football season. I think 9-3 is the floor, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, look how much talent we got coming back, and look at how much talent we got coming in. I'm excited again.
And the schedule lines up real nice too. Playing Georgia later in the season now. A lot of people say, well, that's when Georgia's going to be at their strongest. Well, Tennessee will be at their strongest, too. We'll know exactly what type of team we have by then. They'll have the wrinkles worked out of the offense. All that good stuff will be running like a well-oiled machine. But I really like the way the schedule lines up this year. And, I mean, honestly, I'm with you, Philly. I think 9-3 is a base prediction. Anything above that's possible as well.
All right, the key game of the year, they got to beat Texas A&M or Knoxville.
That's a big one. I think early season momentum, if you want to – just a huge pile of momentum early season. You go into the swamp and come out with a win for the first time in 20 years, you're looking good.
Well,
let me tell you this too. Like, Texas A&M, you know how I feel about Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. And I think those feelings are going to reign true again this year. He's a fake. He's a fraud. I don't think we have anything to worry about when they come to Knoxville. That guy has tucked tail and ran and taken money worse than Rick Barnes ever thought about doing.
I talked about this a little bit. You know, we do those Twitter spaces pretty much every morning, just a bunch of us get together and talk ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking about this. You know, we've seen it. You could probably take 10 to 15 coaches out of the last 5 years and say, hey, this guy looked like a really good coach because of the talent he had. And I think that Jimbo Fisher, you know, Butch Jones was one of those guys. He took the Jalen Hurd, Alvin Kamara, Josh Dobbs team. You know, I mean, he was a terrible coach, Butch Jones.
That team should have won a national title.
Exactly. Could have won. If he would have been any sort of coach whatsoever, that's a national championship caliber team, but he squandered it. Now, we've seen also, you know, success from that as well, like I said, from about 10, 15 guys. So I think Jimbo Fisher is going to be one of those guys that benefits from that. Guys like Mike Bobo at Georgia this year, just with the talent they have, he's going to look like a genius. So I think the talent is going to overshadow Fisher's deficiencies in coaching.
So kind of like Jeremy Pruitt with Alabama.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Exactly the same.
Well, it sounds good. Hopefully, hope Joe Milton can perform, and then hopefully Nick over there can bring him along slowly this year to give him a little playing time, get him ready for next year.
I feel like that's probably what's going to happen.
Yep. Milton's looking good right now too, man. A few things I've noticed: his pocket awareness has improved dramatically. We obviously all want to see those touch passes improve, but for the most, I mean, he's made tremendous strides while at Tennessee. You know, everybody's like, well, he didn't see the field at Michigan. There's a reason. You know, Jim Harbaugh is notorious for ruining quarterbacks. You guys might remember Shea Patterson.
Yes.
From Ole Miss. He was supposed to be the second coming. Goes to Michigan. Have you heard his name since I just now said it?
No.
Probably not. Exactly. So, I mean, that in and of itself tells you all you need to know about Joe Milton's time at Michigan. You look at the difference between his time there versus when he came here. Look at him in that Orange Bowl game last year. I'm just saying. I mean, he's poised for a good season, man. He's got all the tools necessary.
Well, he might have run Colin Kaepernick in the Super Bowl too, didn't he? Pretty cool, you know.
I forgot all about that.
Oh Lord! Well, I'm glad you got your good crew there, Jake. You're the only one around that knows what to do. I mean, Jake, phone calls number one. You don't have to be on hold 50 minutes like some people, you know it.
That's the way it works, Phil. You know, we try to run a good ship around here, and if I might say so myself, I think I'm a hell of a recruiter.
You are. Is Tom Brady going to be on in the morning?
I think so. I think so.
Well, hope he's looking pretty. See you.
Oh, geez.
Nothing like him taking a shot at Adam Hickman on his way out the door.
Oh, shoot, man. I swear, Philly cracks me up, dude.
Yeah. So, Max, that's our number one caller. He, great sports mind, agrees with just about everything that we agree with. And, yeah, he's probably going to become your best friend.
I mean, his character, for sure.
Oh, it's fantastic. You can't get better than that.
That time, it was just a couple months ago, me, Miller, Jordan Moore, and Philly, man, all in there. That was the time right there, buddy. I tell you, I hadn't laughed like that, especially on air, and probably ever.
That was the best show I've ever done.
I think I'm right there with you, man. There's been a couple times where I've appeared on a couple national programs, and I thought, well, this was great. This was fun. The exposure is great. But, man, that night down there, it was something else, man. It was so carefree and fun, dude. I'm hoping to carry that all throughout the year.
Well, and, you know, that's just the approach that we take. You know, if you're just now tuning into the show, I know, you know, John Dunn just, I don't know what it is about him. He just brings that clout with him. But, you know, we just try to do the inside the NBA approach. You know, we don't take ourselves too serious on the show. We come in, we have fun, we talk about something that we love. It's a game of football, the game of basketball. It's all fantastic. That's what we model our show off of. And I don't ever intend to change that. And, John, I know you don't intend to change either. So
I love that.
So we're going to get a segment drawn up for Max here in the next segment. We got a few minutes before we can go to break. But you're going to have your own segment, man.
Sounds good. Hit me.
You're going to be making us some money.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You're going to use all of your knowledge, and you're going to put it into sports betting.
Okay. And then I already do that.
And then you're going to give me a funny story at the end of it.
All right.
Those are always funny. I'll show you where to look up the best ones. Those are fairly easy to find if you know the right website. So, John, we had talked a lot about the offense before we went to break. And something that, you know, we were talking about last night was our special teams. And how we've not really had that group of guys that can just house one on a kickoff return or a punt return. And I think we might have found something. I think we very well might have found something.
What'd you find?
Well, when you look at who we got back there, look at our punt returns, look at our kick returns, and look who is back there.
D. Williams.
And most likely Squirrel White. Guys that are speedy, elusive. They're not afraid to see a hole and hit it. And that's what you have to have if you want to establish a fantastic system on special teams, is have those guys that have that speed, that elusiveness, and can find that hole and just flat out hit it.
Yeah.
And I think we got that.
Huge. Yeah, I think you're 100% correct, man. Field vision is huge. You look at D. Williams, anytime he's back there to return a kick, the punter, the kicker, whatever it may be, tries to not kick to him because they know. They know automatically that this dude's a home run threat every time he touches the ball. You look in the SEC at other players like Xavier Leggett, the same exact way from South Carolina. There's a few throughout the SEC. Now, I think the SEC is the premier conference for return men, as well as pretty much every other position on the field. But you look in the past at some of the returners that Tennessee's had, Barry, you know, this and that. I mean, there's a long lineage here of great kick and punt returners, man. I think Williams is going to fit that role well. I think White will as well. But there's just something about D. Williams, man, that I just think he is the best return man that Tennessee's had since Evan Berry. And I think he's going to be phenomenal. I mean, Marquez Callaway was a great return man as well. It just goes on and on. But, I mean, special teams are an extremely integral part of, you know, football. I mean, you've got three phases. People think offense, defense. That special teams is a big one. So if Tennessee can find any success, special teams, whether it's pinning guys back on punts, whether it's returning punts for good field position, field position has played a vital role for Tennessee's success over the past few years. You look back, everybody thinks of that 2016 Georgia game where Dobbs threw the Hail Mary. Field position is the reason that game was won. If you look on that kickoff, there was a 15-yard penalty assessed that moved them up 15 yards, made it to where Dobbs could get it to the end zone. Field position is huge. That's why special teams are so important. But like you, I think they've got some guys back there that can be extremely successful.
Absolutely. Let's go right back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Polish Joe is next. What do you say, Poli?
Rose Petals.
Keep throwing them. What's up, buddy?
I thought I had a missed the time, and I thought it was calling the drive, man. I got hung up on 11 times until we got it right.
He's going to get it figured out. Don't give him too much of a hard time, at least.
It's just hazing, Jake. You know that.
Polish Joe, I am the king of hazing. We all know this.
All right, now, you know, we got to initiate your new guy, but first I'm coming after you, big boy.
What did I do?
You're bashing Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
What has Jimbo Fisher done that Rich Bruins hasn't?
He won a national championship, but he also took over a program that Bobby Bowden took to the mountaintop and left a sea of talent around him.
Calm down, Russell. He won.
He won, but what did he do after that?
Do you think he'd beat FAU? Do you think he'd beat Sister Jean? Maybe Oregon State? Maybe, do you think he could stop Ryan Klein from getting 36 points in an NCAA tournament game?
Don't know.
I'm going to say probably not, because I don't think he's a good basketball coach.
Now I'm coming after the new guy, which I'm happy there's fresh blood in here.
Oh, boy.
Sorry to see the other guys go, but I got to come after you, big boy.
Come on, buddy.
You're going after Jim Harbaugh. You're going after Jim Harbaugh for not developing quarterbacks. What's worse, him at the quarterback position or Rich Bruins and five-star recruits?
So I don't disagree with you that talent has been squandered, but we're comparing apples to oranges right now, basketball
okay,
to football.
Next thing is, it doesn't matter what our transfer portal is. It doesn't matter who we bring back. It doesn't matter who we're going to play. What's the common factor? We are not going to win until this guy's gone.
So you do realize he coached that 2018-19 team, right?
Yeah, and what happened?
A terrible call
against
Purdue.
They were ranked number one for 12 weeks in the season, and you can't get out of the first weekend?
That was a terrible call against Purdue, actually, that cost them that
Which
season.
He blamed, no. According to your coach, he blamed it was a great call on his player.
I mean, what else is he going to say? Is he going to get up there and throw the refs under the bus and risk potential?
Any other coach would do that before he throws his own player under the bus, wouldn't you think?
I don't necessarily think he threw Lamonte Turner under the bus, so to speak, but I think he just
said he committed the foul. It was a questionable foul.
Yeah, which I don't think throwing anybody under the bus.
You ever heard Coach K say that?
Do what, my man?
Have you ever heard Coach K throw one of his players under the bus on a questionable call? That one kid for Xavier in the tournament made a horrible foul, which stopped them from advancing. But he didn't throw his player under the bus.
Again, I don't feel like Barnes threw Turner under the bus. I feel like he was just trying to alleviate some of the fallback from going after a referee. But the call was egregious. I mean, realistically.
So you'd rather go after one of your own players before a referee who's a professional?
Again, I don't think he went after Lamonte Turner. I don't think he did.
Wow.
I think he made a simple blanket statement that was pretty generalized.
That said it was a foul, and my player committed the foul, and it was a dumb foul.
Yeah, in a way to say, hey, we shouldn't have been in that position to begin with. We should have done X, Y, Z to keep ourselves from that position.
How about playing your SEC Player of the Year 2 times to start overtime? Why don't we consider that?
Yeah, now there you will hear no argument from me whatsoever on that one.
Why don't we think about what the coach, the $8 million man, does before you say, oh, yeah, this kid, he's the reason why I'm not moving on in the postseason.
So if not Rick Barnes, then who?
It is him.
Yeah, no, I'm
He's
saying
done
it's not
since
Rick
1988.
Barnes. If
1988.
Rick Barnes, who are you going to replace him with?
He couldn't win with Kevin Durant. How is he going to win with Tyreek Evans?
Who do you replace Rick Barnes with? Who do you replace him with?
Anyone that can fog up a mirror.
But who?
This guy is getting bonuses Every day I wake up and find out another bonus he's getting. I'm waiting to find out tomorrow if it doesn't rain by 2 p.m. in the afternoon, he gets another $250,000. I honestly believe that. Hey, Jake, and then, all right, I'm going to leave. I'm a way out. I think this would be a great show topic in the off season.
Okay.
Is have callers call in and try to answer of how many bonuses and what and all these bonuses that Barnes has gotten the last 9 years, and it would blow your mind. Who knows? I mean, he could have got a bonus for Vitello and the softball team going to the NCAA tournament. This guy's running a Ponzi scheme. Get him out of here.
Oh, my goodness. Polish Joe, everybody.
Yeah, he went in, man.
I guess that's our initiation right there.
Yeah, hey, that, man, that was it. That was it. Goodness. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online, fanrunradio.com, the Lenormand Sports Medicine web stream. Check them out online today at lenormandsportsmedicine.com. All right, Max, you ready to make me some money?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, you're going to give me, let me log in real quick, you're going to give me 5 picks.
Okay.
Who's going to record a hit tonight?
All right.
All righty. Your top 5. Hit me with them.
I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez for the Astros.
All right.
Should be a household name. Going to go with Tim Anderson of the White Sox.
That's a gimme.
Mashes lefties facing Tyler Anderson. Also going to go with Gurriel on the Diamondbacks. Just ended like a 15 or 16 day hit streak. Like him to bounce back, especially against Freeland, who struggles a lot on the road. And the last two, let's go with Aaron Judge. Probably not great value there, but. And then to top it off, I'll give you a Pirates player, considering I'm a Pirates fan. And we will go with Brian Reynolds, Tennessee boy.
All right.
Brentwood.
About a dollar on that? Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Say something wrong?
You didn't say anything wrong. I just did something wrong. I was like, oh, this pays out a lot of money. Let's just put a dollar on it. I meant to hit to record one plus hit, and I hit to record one plus home run.
On who?
All of them?
Well, you just gave
donated a dollar.
Yep, that's charity.
Goodness. This is what happens when you don't pay attention in life.
Imagine they do, though.
Well, then I guess everybody's getting crystals and a full tank of gas. That's all you're getting. Sack full of crystals and a full tank of gas.
Still have yet to try a crystal.
Whoa. John, did you hear what he just said?
Whoa, what did he say?
Still have yet to try crystal.
What?
Yeah, I know.
He's not from here.
I'm not.
Bro, where are you from?
Central Pennsylvania.
Central, but you know, I got a lot of family up in there, actually.
Really? Are they Amish?
No. No, they're not, man.
Oh, my goodness. So
there's a town up there, if I'm not mistaken, called Dunn, like my last name. And I'm pretty sure one of my super distant relatives, like, founded that little township back in, you know, back in the day, whenever that was.
Yeah. Penn State fans up there?
Quite a few of them, yeah. Actually, surprisingly, a lot of North Carolina fans up in there. It's the weirdest thing, man.
Yeah, you do run into a lot of – no one's really Penn State basketball fans, so you run into a lot of random college basketball fans.
A lot of mid-major fans, I would assume.
Bucknell, yeah. Lehigh.
Yes.
Some West Virginia fans up in Pennsylvania, too.
Yep, especially in Western PA.
Yep.
Well, then you get over into that western part of West Virginia, you get a lot of Kentucky fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's that cold brethren, they stick together.
But we gotta fix this Crystal thing, man. Like we have got to get him to a Crystal one evening,
dude,
before
listen,
or after a show.
Have him try them on air for the first time tomorrow.
Might be able to make that happen. Might be able to make that happen. So how do we do this, John? Do we get him a cheese crystal or do we get him just an OG regular crystal?
OG plain, first one, second one with cheese, and then let him decide if he likes them with or without cheese, and he can demolish the whole sack full right there on there.
I'll tell you what I hate. They don't have the corn pup anymore.
I never was big on it.
I loved corn pup. Love.
I'm traditional, dude. Just slap a little bit of mustard and onion on them. I'm good to go.
So it's weird. Like, I don't eat mustard on my crystals.
That's the weirdest part of the whole thing to me is that you don't eat mustard on them. That's the best condiment ever, and it makes a crystal pop, dude.
Nah. There's better stuff for it. Now, the new crystal chicks, the side chicks, those are fantastic.
The branding is glorious, too.
Oh, you could not have done a better job. Their marketing team, A-plus work on that. Absolute A-plus work on that. So, we got a project for you.
Uh-huh.
When we can arrange this, I'm taking you to Crystal before or after. Actually, it's going to be before a show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get you an original Crystal. Do you like mustard?
I do not, unless it's brown mustard.
Okay, then he can be like me. He can leave the mustard off. You like onions?
Yes, love onions.
Love pickles?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, I've got a formula. It's going to work. We're going to get him to Crystal, and he's going to try his crystals for the first time live on air.
I love it.
And we're going to get you a crystal
chick. If you don't start eating mustard, you ain't never going to have no hair on your chest, boys.
Buddy, I am not lacking in that department by any means. And I hate mustard.
Oh, shoot. Mustard's the best condiment there is, man.
Who we got on the phone, Max? We got Tommy. Okay, we got Chris up next. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, guys. John, congrats on joining the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. How are you doing this afternoon, brother?
Yeah, I used to listen to your All-Ball Call-In show, so good to have you join the team, but yeah, you'll get used to Phil and Paul and Joe Rick Barnes. That's pretty much all they do.
Well, listen, man, I'll go toe to toe with anybody over Rick Barnes. I mean, yeah, he's had a couple of times where he's fallen short, and you know, I'm with everybody else on that. I do agree that some things need to change, but I don't think the things that need to change are who the head coach is. And also, I appreciate you with your kind words, man, on the ABCIS and everything as well. I'm delighted to be here with these guys, Miller and me, man. He's one of my best friends in the whole world, so this whole thing is going to be fun. But, yeah, man, it's a great time and everything, and we appreciate it nonstop for real.
Yeah, I mean, does Rick Barnes have his thoughts? Absolutely. Do most coaches? Yes. But who are you going to get? Unless, you know, Jay Wright calling Danny White saying, hey, I'm ready to come out of retirement. I mean, come on, guys.
Yep, that's exactly. That's the only name that I can think of right now where I'd say, all right, yeah, if Jay Wright calls, let's move on from Barnes. But I highly doubt Jay Wright's going to come out of retirement. Unless they just throw bukus of money at the man. He could be successful here. I think he could recruit. I think he could, he's a whale of a coach. But I'm with you. If not Rick Barnes, who? Because I don't
think
it's going
to be Jay Wright.
Let me give
you a name real quick. This is an interesting one, and it's far-fetched, but is it really? Billy Donovan.
That's another one.
Yeah, that's one that, oh, man, it just the fan in me would be like, no, never, never. But the basketball mind in me would immediately do it yesterday, you know?
But when you've been in the NBA that long, unless you just, you don't have to recruit, there's a huge advantage.
There is.
But like you said, if you're not the GM, your team can suck every year and you really have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to look at it that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess my thing with Billy Donovan is, he most recently coached Oklahoma City. I think I'm telling you that right. And,
yes.
Excuse me, he is the coach of the Bulls. But If you could somehow lure him back in.
Now the Bulls, yes.
Because, you know, we saw John Calipari, he tried to make that jump to the NBA and he didn't do anything with it. Could it be one of those things to where you pay him enough money to come back? Yes, he's got to go on the road and recruit. And it's a lot different now than what it was when he was still in the college game. But, you know, everyone wants to say, oh, well, Penny Hardaway, he's got the experience. He's got the NBA experience. It's like, okay, as a player, but he doesn't have as a coach. He doesn't, you know, he's not been in the NBA as a coach. He doesn't know what those coaches are really looking for from their point of view. Billy Donovan is somebody who has that experience and knows what a coach is looking for, what a GM is looking for from their point of view.
Yep. It would be a home run, man, realistically, just like Jay Wright would be. But it's the fact of the matter, do they come? Like, would they come?
Yeah, that's neither of those is happening, so just get over that pipe dream. But I don't know if y'all may have been sincerely. I was just now able to tune in. But we got another crystal ball for 5-star wide receiver Mike Matthews.
Yes, we did.
About an hour
big
ago.
Big time.
I don't know if y'all saw that or not.
Big time, yeah, that's huge, man. And I mean, when you're having the type of success, especially offensively, I mean, it's a very, very easy recruiting tool when you have a Biletnikoff winner under your belt, Josh Heupel does. So it's incredible, especially when you're signing quarterback talent like Nico Iamaleava too. So, I mean, good players want to play with good players. So the better Tennessee recruits, the better they'll recruit.
And Tennessee strongly leads for the possibly number one quarterback in 2025, and then another highly four-star quarterback, you know, George McIntyre and Deuce Knight.
Yep.
And AP's pretty much alluded to both. They will take both happily.
And people, I feel like, are sleeping a little bit on Merklinger as well, coming in for next year's class. So, I mean, he's a highly touted recruit. He's one of the top 10 ranked quarterbacks. So, I mean, they're just smacking home runs left. Right now with the edge position, you can't find me a better team in the country that's recruiting the edge better than Tennessee right now either.
I mean, look at who we're leading for on the defensive, you know, front seven.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, Fountain
good
should
defense,
be a lock.
And that's...
And then I think Boo Carter, I feel good about Boo Carter. You know, the crystal ball with Matthews. I mean, just right. This is the best I felt about Tennessee football in May in a very, very long time. Yeah. I could even say probably better than I felt last year in May.
Yeah. There were some rumblings on the interwebs that Carter committed to the staff this weekend. It's just not made public yet, but you know how that goes. But
yeah, you know how those rumblings are, man.
But yeah, John, just so you know, if Poli Joe and, Phil ever call in praising Rick Barnes, get your affairs in order because the world is ending. All right, see you.
Appreciate the phone call, Chris. Let's keep it rolling. Jamie is next. What do you say, Jamie?
Jake, I missed you, bro.
What's up, buddy?
I need a soft place to land after last night, bro.
Man, I don't know if Tatum or Brown care.
Forgive me for a second. John, it's Jamie. What's up, man?
What's up, Jamie? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I tell you what, I'm excited, dude. I haven't got a chance to listen to y'all much today, but I followed you some on and caught some of your stuff. I don't know, was it Twitter Spaces or?
Yeah, probably Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? You may not remember, but me and you went back and forth on Facebook when I was trying to convince you that Pruitt was on his way out the dope. And but I got to tell the listeners, man, whenever it did happen, you were gracious and accepted defeat. And I got a lot of respect for guys that, I'm a facts guy. And, John, I've been wrong more times than right. And I got to appreciate, you know, a lot of people blocked me and called me, you know, everything in the world but a Vols fan. But you were one of the first ones to say, yeah, you were right. So thank you, sir.
Amen. I remember that like it was yesterday. You were exactly right. I was wrong. That's happened plenty of times as well, man. And I appreciate the kind words, man. I that stuff is what makes it all worth doing, man. And that's awesome. And, yeah, of course I remember that conversation. But, yeah, it was a very trying time for us all around Tennessee for sure.
And it's you know, for once, you know, something worked out in our favor. You know, we fell in a bucket of crap and came up with Heupel, and man, that usually don't happen around here. So, wow, what a time to be a Vols fan right now. But yeah, Jake, I didn't got a chance to listen today, and I just want to say hello to your new co-host. I'm excited, man. You're the leader of the dynamic in there, and I expect it to be just, you know, not to miss a beat. I enjoyed the other fellas, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy the dynamic you've got now, too. So looking forward to big things from you. So don't drop the ball, Jalen Brown.
Hey, whoa. Now, don't you go compare me to Jalen Brown now. I deliver on my promises. No, people call me the mailman around here.
Oh, my goodness. The most overrated. You know what? I watch, and you know, you're a Celtics fan, too. So you watch these games. You know, it's at the end of the game, you look at his stat line, he's got 24 points, and you're like, oh, yeah. But you watch him, he doesn't move without the ball. Nope. He doesn't help on defense. His basketball IQ is non-existent. You know, he passes to your ankles. He's slow to see that. He's slow to see things if he sees them at all. And with this crazy CBA, we're stuck with having to make this guy the highest paid player in the history of the NBA. I don't understand.
It's crazy, man. Sense? It truly is. I've been ready to move on from Brown for a long time as a Celtics, but now I've kind of taken a step back from the NBA over the past probably 5-6 years, but I'm still a Celtics fan. You know, I'd rather see Grant in the starting lineup myself. I mean, at least that guy wants it, you know?
Well, you know, and I put guys like Tatum and Brown in the same category as I do like Chase Elliott. Like, it's almost drawn me away from my fandom that I used to have for the Boston Celtics, you know, when they had Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, and then eventually you had Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. And you eventually draw yourself away from that because they delete your core that you had.
Yep.
Yeah.
Much like Chase Elliott in NASCAR. Loved the guy coming into the Cup Series. But his fan base is so just toxic. It almost draws you away from being a fan of the guy.
Well, you know, Jake, you bring up something interesting with that last comment. You know, it's funny. I'm like you, man. I fall in love with the trio. You know, I was there for the early Paul B. Hell, I'm 52. I was there for Tiny Archibald. Who are we kidding? Ooh. So, but guys, I mean, I fall in love with these cores too. From, you know, Bird, McHale, Parrish to Garnett, Allen, Rondo, and Pierce, and then, you know, with the Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. Those fell, you know. But this time around, I think the best thing to do is to move on from. I've been saying this for a few years. I just don't think you're going to win with this core. Jalen Brown, they don't complement each other. They're, you know,
yep.
Jalen Brown's he's a great athlete. I don't know how much of a good. He's just not that good of a basketball player. And speaking of Antoine Walker, he kind of reminds me. It's like he'll give you a lot of points, nothing else, but a lot of points
because he's selfish.
I just don't think he's got it between the ears. I don't think he has it between the ears. And guys, it doesn't help the fact that he hates us. He hates us as much as we hate him. He don't want to be here. And I've never seen a guy call out another teammate. Maybe I missed it. I haven't followed the NBA that great, but I'm a Celtics fan, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody in Boston play that crap, throwing Grant Williams under the bus like that. I wish Grant was waiting for him at the back of the room like Marcus Smart was after Tatum's press conference in Game 6. Like, what was that you just, you know, I have to show some heart.
Somebody has to.
But, Jake, I've been listening to a lot of Sports Hub up there in Boston while you were away this whole last week. And you guys do it so good at Fan Run, man. You guys, you've got, it's the personality and the professionalism, man, because, you know, your callers are smarter. You know, you and the fellas in there, you guys, you put together a great product, man. And just listen to a lot. You wouldn't believe how many times they go to callers and they've got the radio playing in the background. I mean, it's 2023. We've been doing this for 40 years now. But yeah, just looking forward to good things, man. We can do some Celtics talk down the road. I know Summer's here, so maybe I can squeeze it in. You're about the only place I can do that with on Fan Run, so I'll get out of here. John, welcome aboard. On the way out, both of y'all bat this around. What do you think about how – is there a way we can find a way to get Damian Lillard and or Trae Young or maybe even Zach LaVine? Y'all hang in there.
Appreciate the phone call, Jamie. Those are all going to be interesting options.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even – I mean, imagine Dame playing with the Celtics, man.
Imagine that. Now, another thing to think about, is it possible that Damian Lillard ends up with the Miami Heat?
Yeah, I think it's very possible, honestly.
Because that's been a rumor for a minute now, is that Dame might actually end up in Miami.
Lowry plays there too, don't he?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
And you got Victor Oladipo and Tyler Hero, of course, which are both out right now.
Whew, man, that team would be an offensive nightmare.
And thing is, they're not going to do well in the regular season. But as we have seen, the regular season does not matter.
It doesn't, apparently.
That it does not. We're going to take our final break. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program. It's overtime. It's Jake Miller. It's John Dunn. It's Max Pennell. And it's you. Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Tommy is going to be our final caller. What do you say, Tommy?
How you doing this evening, Jake?
Good.
Man, it's good to hear y'all back. You know, kind of screwed up my whole routine last week. You know, get home, do a little shop work, do a little house work. And I didn't have anything to listen to. I had to go back and re-listen to podcasts from Three and Out and everything else. I mean, glad to have you back. Glad to have John Dunn and who's the other guy?
Max.
Max.
Yeah.
Awesome name. Man, I've been listening. Guys, Joe Milton, my only deal with him, and like John Dunn alluded to earlier, that his pocket presence has gotten better. That was my only deal with him at the Clemson game. I mean, as big as he is, if they bring pressure, it just seems like he cannot read it or he cannot get away from it. And if that's improved, man, I'm really excited for this upcoming season.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, if Joe Milton, this team will go as Joe Milton goes. And, you know, there are two guys that come to mind, and I don't know why these two in particular come to mind when I think of quarterback developers. But the first one that pops to mind is Dan Mullen. Former Mississippi State, Florida head coach. And then it's Josh Heupel. When you look at the quarterback lineage that Josh Heupel's had, and then he's adding guys like Mackenzie Milton to the quality staff, the sky's the limit with this guy, man. And you're bringing in talent like Nico Iamaleava. You've got Joe Milton. He's got the biggest arm in football. I'd be willing to say in football, period. Maybe the biggest arm in the world. That sounds crazy. But if you can do any sort of development with this guy, man, you're looking at one of the best offensive teams that Tennessee's ever had, for sure.
Yeah, and I heard y'all talking about that. I didn't see the 80-yard bomb he threw, but I did see the office hallway pass, and like y'all said, that could have been bad. I mean, who was going to try to get out there? And that guy was like 5'6", 140 pounds, going to try to catch that ball.
Well, you know,
what the hell are you thinking?
When we use the term borderline dangerous quite a bit, that was full-blown dangerous. There was no borderline dangerous to it. That was dangerous.
Yeah, it's like Tommy said, man. The guy catching the ball was just some small little guy ball that went through him.
Yeah, I had to pick him up and took him down the hallway.
He looked like Mermaid Man after he ate the ice cream.
Now, guys, Jake, I heard you a little bit talking about NASCAR. You know, you seen our boy. You know, we was talking a little bit earlier. He's finally going to get his shot after Chase just pull one boneheaded move at one of the worst parts of a fast track that you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, you save that for a short track at Martinsville or even next week at Gateway. I mean, that's a track that if you're upset with somebody, you can kind of get low on to them, don't give them any room, and, you know, spin them out.
Well, and doing it at a track like that, and, you know, we saw it before as well, with Carl Edwards and Brad Keselowski at Atlanta. That could have been very dangerous.
Well, and you look back just recently, you know, when Bubba and Kyle had their incidents, what was it, Kansas?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that could have been bad for not just the two drivers involved, but everybody that was behind them. And luckily, that wreck last night didn't, you know, get worse than what it could have been.
Yeah,
you know?
It didn't end up with somebody in the catch fence.
Yeah. And you seen the onboard camera of Denny's head, and I looked at his podcast this morning. I mean, there's a reason his neck's sore and he can't move. I mean, he took a hell of a lick. And I agree with NASCAR, and I agree with them going back to the data and looking. And that's one thing about electronic cars now. We can see when the steering wheel turned, if the tie rods was bent on it, you could see a slight angle in the data, and it wasn't there. He deliberately turned him.
Yeah, he did. But like you said, we get to see our guy. We get to see Corey LaJoy do something that he's not got a chance to do yet, and that's go out and perform in a top-tier Cup car.
And I don't know Corey's track record at Gateway, but like I told you earlier, I guarantee you right now he's sitting in a simulator, and I bet he's logging as many laps as he can.
That's exactly what I would be doing.
Exactly.
How cool would that job be, man? That would be such an awesome job.
I could burn some of the calories that I gained from eating the 25 pizzas that I have over the past 12 days.
Yeah, Jake, I was going to talk to you about that. You're going to have to stop that. You're going to have, like, congestive heart failure or something.
Nah.
I mean, come on, man. 25 pizzas in, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I mean, come on, guy.
I ate a whole pizza by myself this past weekend.
That a boy.
Yeah, you know how it is, man. Sometimes so I was at a little birthday party for a little cousin of mine. Her mom ordered too much pizza, expected more people to show up, ordered about four too many pizzas, and come to me, he's like, hey, can you help me get rid of some of this pizza? I was like, well, I guess, I better put this. They've always told me I have a hollow leg. Miller, you've seen me. I'm just a tall, skinny guy, but I eat like a horse, man. So that's what they've always said. I got a hollow leg. It's got to go somewhere. But, yeah, I eat, I think, 14 slices, so I put it away.
I can't say anything. I'm the same way with, like, chicken wings. You put a whole tray of chicken wings in front of me, it's gone. I'm not a big guy either. I'm about 5'9", about 160 pounds. But
I hear you there. I'm about 6'3", myself, way about the same. So,
all right. Well, guys, like I said, I'm not a big NBA guy. I kind of watched a little bit of it the other day. I ain't got a lot of input on that. Baseball team, we're going to see what it does. Basketball, I'm going to wait till next year. I'm just ready for NASCAR and football. So, guys, it's going to be interesting to talk to y'all for the next few weeks, and I'm looking forward to it.
Appreciate the phone call, Tommy. Love you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Love y'all.
Tommy's going to be the final caller. So, before we wrap up the show, got a couple minutes to kill here. So, I read something on the internet saying that Nike is struggling to move Jordan 1s because they're coming out with color schemes and colorways that nobody likes. What have we begged for in Knoxville? We see the team get them. We see them get the Air Max. We see them get the Dunks. We see them get the Jordan 1s in the Vols colors. Why not just make that available to the fans? Do a college run in the fall. You will sell out of every damn color scheme that you bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I mean, it doesn't get much better than Nike. The one thing that I say they could do to help move their product immensely would be to lower the price. That's the number one thing. But I'm like you, man. Make some of the stuff available to the general public, especially Tennessee fans. You put Tennessee orange on anything, man, it's going to get snatched up immediately.
And the real Tennessee orange, not...
Yeah,
the,
not
the white
this
curry or the university gold or whatever they're trying to say this is. No, it needs to say Tennessee orange and make it Tennessee orange. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, John.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.